Hey guys, this is Danny McDermott from The Danny McDermott Show. If you want to see our show live, it's every Wednesday at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. Trust me, you want to see it then. You'll see all the screw-ups. It's great. Our show is an adult show, I must admit, but that's only because we're childish. Most of the guests that we have on the show are my friends, so you can just watch us hang out as buddies. It's fun. Just chill, relax, enjoy.
If you enjoy our original content, please consider becoming a supporter on Anchor so that we can continue to bring you laughs every week.
The following program may contain immature situations, themes, and is intended for an adult audience. The opinions expressed here do not necessarily reflect the views of everyone else working on the show. Viewer discretion is advised. Welcome to the Danny McDermott Show, ladies and gentlemen. I am back in the studio. Ah, what a relief. Oh my God, Kevin. What a relief, dude. I mean, look, I had an amazing time in LA. For those of you who've been watching, you saw me in John Lennon's old house. And, it was amazing. I had a great time hanging out with people, but I'm glad to be back. I'll tell you what, I took, Kevin, did I tell you how bad my travel was to get back here?
Tell us about it, Danny.
It was horrible. It was I picked the two absolute worst companies to travel with ever. Okay, the first one was Spirit Airlines. I don't know if you guys have ever taken Spirit Airlines, but there's a reason they're called Spirit, because they steal your soul one flight at a time. Okay, I mean, I thought I was saving money. You know, because I only paid $81 for the flight. You know, but when I got to, I only paid $81. I'm like, this is amazing. It's, you know, COVID made everything drop. So I'm like, I can fly across the country for $81. Yeah, why not just, it's so cheap, I may as well just do it. You know what I mean? But when I get to the gate, they're like, oh, I got to charge you for that bag. I'm like, no, I'm carrying it on. They're like, yeah, we got to charge you. I'm like, you got to charge me for a carry on? They're like, yeah, $55. So, ooh. Yeah. So it's like more than half of my flight. You know, who charges for that? Then I realized there's no leg room. So I paid $25 for that. And it wasn't even like, it was a couple inches of leg room. It didn't even make a difference. Not only that, but I had all the responsibility of being in the emergency section. You know what I mean? And so, people are going to die basically, because I'm not responsible at all when it comes to that stuff. You know what I mean? I won't be able to get out the door. The seats don't even recline in Spirit Airlines. They have you ever heard of an airline that doesn't have reclining seats? So you're basically like this, you know, you're like, you can't sleep. You're like, you know, I like it. You know, you can't sleep, man. They charge for everything, Kevin. I'm telling you, they charge for snacks. They charge for water. They don't even give you free water. You know, they wanted to charge me $20 for a barf bag. So I just barfed in the seat back pouch that they. And then they charged me for the cleaning. You know, they're just walking down the aisle trying to make money. They're like vendors in New York. Hey, what do you want? What do you want? You want something? You want this? You want that? You want headphones? You want, what do you want? What do you want? Would you like toilet paper for the flight? That's $10 a square. You know? Dude, I'm just imagining if the plane crashes, they're going to charge you for the oxygen masks and the life vests. Never again, man. Never, Kevin. Never. Then after an 8-hour layover in Atlanta, I get to New York City and I have to take the Greyhound bus to get upstate. Okay. Do you know what the bathrooms are like on the bus, Kevin? Do you know what they're like? No, really. It's like they put the toilet right over the engine with that bubbling blue sludge. You know, it's like somebody's cooking Smurf stew that smells like anus. It's like, it's terrible. You know, they got no seat, so women can't hover, so they have to do the Iron Cross, you know, like a gymnast, you know, while they're going pee. They have no toilet paper, and in this case, no bathroom. Why? Because the bus driver belted in a guy in a wheelchair in front of the bathroom door, and nobody could get in. I literally had to beg. This is true. This is true. I literally had to beg the bus driver to stop at a rest area, and she only gave us 10 minutes to go to the bathroom. Do you know what it's like to ride 3 hours after taking half a shit, Kevin? It's very uncomfortable.
I can't say I do know.
It was horrible, Kevin. I'm just glad I'm back. I literally slept 2 hours the whole time. 24 hours. It took me at least 24 hours. I don't even know. Anyway, I'm glad I'm here. How are you doing tonight, Kevin?
I'm great. I'm hearing your story, Danny, and I'm laughing. I'm 5'7" tall. The only way I need to recline my seat is if I get any fatter.
No, but I mean, don't you need to, you need that little bit like you're kind of lying down.
I could sleep too. I think if I took the flight from like Kennedy Airport to LaGuardia, I could get 5 minutes worth of sleep. I could. I definitely could.
I couldn't do it, man. I mean, it was horrible. It was horrible.
Yeah. Wake up with my head on the person next to me's shoulder.
Well, that was the one I lucked out on that. The flights were full, and there was actually nobody next to me on either flight. So that was one good thing. I was, for some reason, I mean, the last flight was packed, but there was nobody next to me. So they probably, I was arguing with Spirit on Twitter. They're like, I did. Yeah. I got on Twitter and I'm like, worst airline ever. We're sorry. What's your experience? I go, you charged me $55 for a carry-on bag when it was an $81 flight. They're like, well, didn't it? And he started stating stuff. And I go, apparently you don't know. They're saying our policies are for cheaper flights to help people, blah, 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 blah. No, I said, no, you gouge people. And they're like, well, we're doing okay. I go, really? Well, my post about you just got 50 people giving bad experiences about your, anyway.
Next time you go, Danny, colostomy bags, if they try to charge you for that. It'll cover both of your issues.
Oh my God, dude. And now Greyhound, that's a good way. By the way, guys, if you have a bad experience, do at the company on Twitter and they'll immediately respond because they don't want bad press. But I told Spirit Airlines I was going to do all these jokes on this show. So there. Anyway, it's national. It's Random Acts of Kindness Day, Kevin, according to the day of calendar. So we've come up with a few random ways to show some kindness to your fellow human beings. Number one, pay it sideways. See what you do. Is you stand next to someone and you pick their pocket for some cash, then hand it back to them. You give the gift of giving. It's a mystery. You know what I mean? The best part is, unless there's a security camera nearby, you get to be anonymous.
It's the gift that keeps on giving and maybe taking and giving again, maybe giving to the wrong person. Just have fun.
Oh, and here's one. Here's one for you. Here's one. Remind people to park correctly.
Oh, that's so kind. That is kindness personified.
Isn't that kind? Isn't it that is. Kind? You bring the chalk and you just write that they're an asshole there so that they remember it for the next time. That's what they, I mean, because so many people forget what those yellow lines are actually for, right, Kevin? I mean, it's easy to forget, right? Leaving a polite note is nice, but if that doesn't work, you get use a key to scratch a reminder along the entire side of the car.
Now that's fantastic, Danny. That's as altruistic as things get.
What could I say, Kevin? I'm a giver, you know. And as a bonus, by doing this, you help make their car easier to find.
Yeah, you could see that scratch a mile away.
And all the chalk. Next one, be neighborly through nature.
That's nice.
So, you know, when your neighbor is giving you a hard time about the fact that your grass is growing a little too high, what you do is you just give them grass of their own as a way to break the ice, you know? Surprise your neighbor by planting some cannabis in their garden, you know? Just hide it right next to their basil.
I get that. The neighbors that smoke together prevent stroke together. I don't know if that's true, but I bet they'll stop complaining, especially after they have the spaghetti.
Yeah, you don't really fight when you're smoking weed. You know what I mean? You're like, I am so mad, I'm going to make a sandwich. And it's a second bonus too, because then you can always call the cops and report them if it doesn't work out. Meet some nice law enforcement officers in the process.
And you could then bail them out. Cost you $50, and $50 will get your undying loyalty from that neighbor. And no complaints.
Wait a minute. Where can you get bailed out of jail for $50?
In this joke, you can. You want the price to go up, Danny?
$50 for a bailout. Wow. Oh, my God.
All right.
Also, we got the post-Valentine's week, Kevin. This is a week when you get a bunch of chocolate candy at 70% off.
That's nice. If you're single, you can get enough to fill a storage closet. You use it the whole year. Or you get diabetes if you don't have any romantic interests. Either way.
Well, no, you're buying it after, so obviously it's not.
You just cross it off and write happy birthday.
You know what you do? You tell the girl you're dating, listen, I like to celebrate Valentine's the day after. It's just a personal preference. And that way you get all the candy.
For it's like a surprise. No. That's how you do it. You do it in June.
Oh, my God. Didn't your ex describe your heart as the same way? A heart-shaped box?
Perhaps.
Oh, Kevin. You know, you're the only sidekick that his job is to depress the audience.
It's a living.
Well, there's some good news this week. This should brighten your spirits.
Is there such a thing as good news anymore, Danny?
Yeah, well, as long as you don't get your news from the news. Anyway, you've heard of the famous children's story, Clifford the Big Red Dog?
That's a children's classic.
Yep. I used to love that as a kid, man. I wanted a giant red dog. And I wish I did. I would love to have it. I still would. I still want a giant red dog. Paramount recently released a trailer for the upcoming live animated film version.
Nice.
Which we're going to have a picture for. There you go. Ooh. Look at that. That's not really red, is it? It looked like someone spilled wine on a giant dog. It's like, right? It's like a dark Merlot.
That's that Clifford after his hopes and dreams have been crushed.
People were not happy with the way he looked.
It is pretty disturbing. You know, the live version is like one of those burnt 7-Eleven hot dogs.
Yeah.
It turns out.
Oh, my God. Now I can't eat a hot dog again. It turns out that nature does a way better job than Clifford's artists. This week, pictures of a pack of bright blue stray dogs went viral. These dogs were spotted near an old shutdown waste factory in Russia.
Wow. So instead of Clifford the Big Red Dog, you've got what? Vladimir, Ivan, Dimitri, the mutated blue dogs. That's a good show.
Yeah. Well, you know, at least they stayed their normal size and aren't running around eating humans.
That's crazy. But now everybody's going to want one. I want one.
I do too, man. Look at that. They're so cute. They're going to be like designer dogs, you know? Instead of shelling out $1,000 for a Labradoodle, people are going to be paying $5,000 for a Russian blue mutant.
Yeah, you pick up a food bowl, maybe a high level of radiation, cure something, right? Give you something. It'll do something.
Oh, my God. I feel bad for all the male dogs walking around with a constant case of blue balls.
Yeah, them and me both.
I hope it's not because you're excited to work with me, Kevin.
No, it's the posters my son hung up here in the man cave. That's so hanging around the factory, baby. A little rambunctious in a chop shop.
I don't even know what you're talking about. Are you on something right now? Are you on some blue pills?
I timed them to kick in a little later.
Well, they're not sure how it happened. Scientists are guessing the strange coloring is probably a result of foraging for food around the abandoned Soviet-era chemical plant.
And what were they making there? Smurfs?
Scientists think the dogs ate something blue there, or chemicals that make something blue.
That actually could make sense. That's why flamingos are pink instead of white.
Really?
Yeah. They ate a lot of brine shrimp. It changes the color of their feathers and gives them a pink appearance.
Really? Yeah. Wow. I had no idea you had a flamingo fetish.
It's an acquired taste, Danny. It's true, though. It is true. If you eat too many carrots, your skin could turn orange.
Oh, that I know. It's called jaundice. When my son was actually a baby, he started to turn orange from carrot baby food. You know, I'm like, why do you sell it if it turns kids orange? You know what I mean? For a split second, I thought she had an affair with an Oompa Loompa.
That's great. That's got to be horrifying. You come home and you catch an Oompa Loompa crawling out of your bedroom window. You know? What could be worse than that? Catching this guy.
This could be worse right here. That guy coming out the window. What did this guy eat? A black and white movie? I mean, look at him.
His skin turned dark gray because he constantly took colloidal silver as a home remedy.
Colloidal. You can add another syllable if you want.
All right. I like my way better. They fucked up when they named it, Danny.
So wait, he ate silver? What is there a werewolf problem in his area or something?
No, it's actually got antibacterial properties.
Really?
That
You're
is
just
correct.
Full of fun facts today, Kevin, really.
I read a lot. You know, it's what isolation does. I spend a lot of time looking at various websites.
Yeah, that and carry around your blue balls. You know, that guy should join the Blue Man Group. He'd steal the show.
He'd save a couple hours of sitting in a makeup chair before he started.
Right? All right, and there's more colorful news. After a four-year absence, High C Orange Lava Burst drink is finally returning to McDonald's. High C is back for everyone. For 4 years, customers pleaded through thousands of letters, emails, calls, tweets, begging for the drink to come back, and McDonald's finally answered.
There you go. The world's healthiest place to eat is just continue to get healthier and healthier, Danny.
Orange, you excited, Kevin?
I see what you did there, Danny. Yeah, but yeah, you don't know this. McDonald's was one of the reasons my last marriage ended.
What? Get out of here. Why?
Well, my wife and I were in the drive-thru. My wife at the time were in the drive-thru. I have to stress that. After we waited about 3 minutes, she was complaining, it's taking too long. And I'm like, yeah, last night you thought 3 minutes was too quick. What's the problem here?
Ouch. Man, wasn't she loving it?
Nope. And then I said, hi, see you later.
Okay, on that note.
It's terrible, Danny.
Oh, it is. It's awful. Awful, okay. Awful. We are punsters. All right. We got a great show tonight, guys. We got Carrie Louise. She has been on Showtime, Comedy Central, Comics Unleashed, Gotham Live, VH1, Last Comic Standing, AGT, The America's Got Talent, The View, The Apprentice, True TV, Oprah, Dr. Oz, and Howard Stern. She starred in her own reality TV show called Too Funny on WETV. This two-time author, hilarious comic, and mother of four if you don't count her husband, can be found performing all over the country. Please welcome Carrie Louise.
Hey, everybody.
Hey.
Welcome.
Hi. All hey. That crap was made up. That was too long. I know. Did I send you all that? I'm like, oh my God, did I send that to you? Or did you find
it? No, we just make up a bunch of shit and throw it in there.
Oh, you dug it up on the internet? You went to page like 5 on Google?
So you like my glasses, Carrie?
Yeah. You know what? That's so funny. I have the same glasses. Look, you got to turn to the side so you can see. Turn to the side. See? They're the same. They're like army, like it's, yeah, type.
If we're on a blue planet, blue camouflage.
We match the blue balls on the dog. But they look good on you. I can't believe I have the same ones and they're girls. But now maybe they're more, now I'm thinking there should be like, they look better on you than me. We should vote. We should have the people vote. They look better on you.
Yeah, but you look better than me.
These are guy glasses. I didn't see the camouflage. Maybe these are guy glasses and I bought.
No. They look great on you. You look great. You look great.
No, but if they looked better on me, then you would be like, oh my God, I just got woman glasses. No, I think I bought boy glasses. I think I got guy glasses.
Anyway, thought I was buying women glasses.
Did you tell what?
I said I thought I was buying women glasses.
No. I think it's the other way around. But we'll have the people vote. They should comment. Do we have comment? Do you accept comments?
We do.
You accept comments?
Oh yeah, we have comments. If anybody wants to comment.
And then at the end we'll decide who throws away. Actually, whoever loses mails the other one. Although it costs more to mail it to you than it is. And how much they're worth. You know, we got these at the dollar store, right?
Yep. For those of you watching, we were talking about the before the show. We were setting everything up and we realized we had the same glasses and we both bought them from the dollar store. That's crazy.
People, look at how sexy these are. Do not pay full price for glasses, for readers.
Right? As soon as I can afford to go to the dollar store, I'm in.
Carrie, are you East Coast?
I'm East Coast, yes. All dollar store.
So I bought these on the West Coast.
You put them all together.
You're going to have a telescope.
But these are pretty sexy. These are from the dollar store. Who knew?
Yeah.
Now these are women. This is.
Yeah, I couldn't pull those off.
You can pull them off though, Danny. All right, go ahead. I'm sorry.
It was great.
I'm on the East Coast. We're gonna get another snowstorm, so we're excited.
Yeah, I know. I'm here now too. So.
Oh yeah.
The reason I brought it up was because I bought these on the West Coast, and you bought them on the East Coast. So.
Wow.
Right. It's crazy. Let's do the whole show about these glasses.
Yeah, and the dollar store.
Let's do a remote. Kevin, run out to the dollar store.
I'll be back with glasses.
So
my husband goes to the dollar store and spends $150. That I don't understand.
Really?
Yeah.
So he buys half the store.
He buys half the freaking store, and then I have to find a place for everything when he brings it. And I'm like, it's a bunch of crap.
But are the steaks delicious?
There's this one thing that he'll buy that is worth. Like I'm like, oh my God, I love this thing. And that I would actually pay $150 for it. He finds these things.
You know, the funny thing is some people, they buy stuff from the dollar store and then sell it online for an up price. You literally could make a living that way.
You could. I think you could. There's some things at the dollar store. There's some really nice plates now. They're all blue and they're really pretty. Should go.
Yep.
I'm like,
they're
full
of lead, but they're full of lead, but
yeah, I mean, don't eat off of them, but definitely buy them.
Just call them the good china.
The good china. Right. My husband bought there's this electric, it's a battery operated electric screw. And it reverses.
Yeah. Screwdriver.
A screwdriver. A screw.
Not a screw.
That screws. That's what he does to me at night. But no, this is what he bought at the dollar store. And I love it. It's a dollar. And it's like, you know, a real, you know, it's like a battery operated screwdriver.
I bought a shower head there once.
Yeah, you would actually pay $150 for that. I use that on a daily basis. Like, you know, like, especially when the kids were young, you know, the screws that they put in the toys, that's awesome for that. Cause it has a reverse. Yeah. It has a thing to reverse. You just done. Love
that's
it.
That's awesome. These are probably going to give me eyebrow cancer, but they look great.
Yes. Eyebrow cancer.
It's not going to kill me. It's just, you know, it's going to be
just a little bit of cancer, just a little, like a dollar's worth of cancer.
I won't go bald, just my eyebrows.
The dog will cure it, though. You get one of those dogs, it'll take care of the whole thing.
They sell dogs at the dollar store?
No, but they have blue radiation emitting dogs right? In Russia, and the radiation will cure your eyebrow cancer.
Okay. Do it. That's a good callback, Kevin. So, Carrie, let's see. Now, you've performed in my comedy rooms in New York, right?
Oh, my God. Do you remember those days?
Oh, yeah. I love those days.
I love those days. You had pretty good rooms. It was, you were always like in a corner. You always put it, you know, your little...
yep.
Your little soapbox in a corner. And you just like had like... You just had like two little backdrop. You probably bought the shower curtain there at the backdrop.
From the dollar store.
Yeah, from the dollar store. And you made a really nice room. Seriously, I loved working your rooms. You were always, they were always great.
Thank you. Yeah, no, I was just like, I could either go and keep begging the clubs to give me spots, or I could do my own rooms so that I can improve and become a headliner. That's how I became a headliner, just through doing those shows.
Yeah. And they were better than some of the Monday nights at like the Strip or something. You had like a crowd. They were always in these like remote places. It was like this underground following you had.
Well, you know, it was basically the passing out the flyers that I dragged people in. And a lot of famous comedians used to pass out flyers for me. Pete Holmes used to pass out flyers. Dimitri Martin, Ed Helms, you know. Greg Wilson, all these guys.
Me?
So, did you know?
No, I never passed out flyers. No, I just showed up.
You were already pretty established at that time, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you were lucky to have me.
I was.
You know what? I would have passed out flyers if you asked me.
Oh, that's sweet.
Maybe.
I think one of the reasons one of the reasons the rooms were good, though, was aside from the filling the room, the lighting and the sound and the temperature, you know, the sound on the mic, all that makes a big difference. Seating people together, all that kind of stuff. So
yeah, you did it all, Danny. You did it. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I learned from some of the best. So.
Right. And that's why I did, even though I was so established. That's why I did. That's why I said, you know, Danny works really hard. His rooms are great. So that's why you got the famous people to come down.
Right. That was crazy. Some of the famous people that would walk in, you know, it was crazy. Yeah. Anyway, so your husband, Tom, has been on the show and he mentioned that you got farther than him on Last Comic Standing.
I did, and that's because I have bigger boobs than he does.
Good decision.
It just happens that I think that I don't think it had, you know, it's Last Comic Standing. People call it Last Client Standing, even though I wasn't a client of of the Boston Barry Katz Boston Comedy Club at the time.
Barry, I love Barry.
Barry Katz. Although he did like me, Carrie, you're gonna be famous. That's what he said to me. You're gonna be really famous. Obviously, he didn't mean it because he would have had me win. But he did say that to me on that on that show. You know, I think, you know, it's a casting. You know that it's casting. Me and Bonnie McFarlane went together, and I, you know, I think they were playing. You know, we're pretty much similar, and that's what they did first season when we were when it was down to the nitty gritty. The last they when we had to go to Vegas, they put us up in a hotel, but they said we had to be in a roommate, and we wouldn't know who our roommate was. Until we got there.
Was it Barry Katz?
No, I know. Right. So we're like, what we're grown adults, what is this? And it's all part of their reality show. So they put me with Bonnie. Because they wanted us to, you know.
Right. Right. Well, you know, it sucks. That's one of my regrets in life. They gave me an appointment and I called them up for the appointment and they said, yeah, just go wait online. And I was like, I'm not going to wait online. I didn't know that they were planning to film me online. Barry was setting it all up so that I would get into the competition. And I didn't know. I didn't.
So well, he didn't tell me.
Yeah, and
listen, we're going to film you on. Because I wouldn't have stood. If they told me to stand on that, I was going to stand online. I wouldn't have. I wouldn't have gone either.
Yeah, that was my attitude. But then when I went out to L.A., I called Barry up because I was in town. I said, Barry, why don't you come out and see me do a set? And he goes, I went through two secretaries to get to him, by the way. But he answered, which is cool. So he likes me, but he answered and I go, yeah, I'm doing can you come out and see me perform? He goes, yeah, you know, I'm busy with Last Comic Standing. I go, yeah. He goes, I noticed you didn't audition. And I was like, Oh
my God.
That's when I realized it. That's one of my regrets.
He was a bouncer years ago in Boston when I first started, and he did some. That's where he got his start, and he had some people in Boston. So I remember he moved to LA and opened up the club and became, you know, really good. You know, Dane Cook, and you know, he then really became like a manager. I remember him.
The Boston Comedy Club.
Yes, I was living in Boston at the time, and he called me to audition for his club at 2 a.m. Karen, can you come? I think you're great. Can you come audition for me? I'm like, and I'm like, oh, at 2 a.m. The guy. So I'm like, okay. Here I am thinking it's stupid. So I go down there for one night to New York from Boston, 4 hours away. Get there early. Get something to eat. And I'm waiting for my set. You know when he puts me on? After Dane Cook.
Why, man.
And you know, Dane owned that club. He was there every single solitary night, owned it. I basically started out with him. I'm a good friend of his. He moved to New York like probably a year before that. And, you know, just hit big with Barry. And so why would he do that? So I go on after Dane, you know, no one in their right mind could follow Dane. Plus that was in my head. I can't follow. I couldn't follow Dane from day one at the open mics at the 99 Bill Ricca, you know, and he wasn't even doing jokes. He was just singing Christmas carols and he would blow the house down. Seriously. And so I obviously didn't do well and he never asked me back. That was my first initial, you know, trip to New York. I drove back home for 4 hours crying.
Oh, man, that sucks. I'm sorry. That really does suck. People don't realize how hard it is doing comedy. And you could if you get the wrong spot after the wrong person. Yeah. But it's not that you weren't as good or whatever. It's that everybody already knew him. They right. were waiting for him.
Right.
And after he was done, that's the thing. When you follow a celebrity, nobody even looks at you. They're like, oh, I just saw a celebrity. Let's go. Let's end it. You know, or, you know, it's, they don't,
I know.
Yeah.
Well, but obviously he didn't want to, I don't know. Was it a trick? You know, let's make her come all the way to New York, sit around, wait to get on. And then I find out I'm going on after Dane. It was just horrible to do that.
That's like, really, That's really odd. But as I can say, guessing from someone who used, you know, was book shows and ran shows, my only guess could be that someone showed up that he couldn't say no to. And so that bumped you to after. That's the only thing I can think of.
And I think I think maybe he just did it on purpose. Let's see if she can follow him. If she can follow him, maybe she has something. But Brian Kylie couldn't follow him.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean Brian Kylie doesn't have anything. He's the head writer of Conan O'Brien and has been for years. He is amazing. And when he puts himself on a show, he doesn't want to be, he wants to be the feature because that's just the type of comedian he is.
Well, you know, you're right. Barry does want people to prove themselves for sure. Because I remember when I first started doing stand-up, somebody introduced me to Barry, and I wasn't even a comic yet. I had some bits that I was interact with the audience, and they were like, no, you should meet him. You should meet him. I'm like, all right. They introduced me to him. He looked at my tape, and he goes, you should leave the business. He goes, you're waving at audience members and talking to them about their boobies and all this stuff.
I love these stories. You know, there's tons of stories from the strip with Lucian Hold saying that to people.
Don't even get me started.
I was actually
funny. You know, I paid my dues and I'd gotten funny with him, and I went to audition for Lucian, and Lucian goes, that was a great job. But you're a white comic. And if you're a white comic, we've already got enough. And frankly, the only way you're going to get in here is if you reinvent stand-up comedy. I'm like, oh, well, that's not hard. Okay.
He said that to Tom. He's like, we already have enough white guys. So.
Yes. That was his favorite line.
Right. And he said this to one woman, and this was so funny. She came, same thing. I felt so bad for her because I did the same exact thing. But I put her up, so at least she stayed overnight. But she came all the way from Boston to audition for the strip. Came all the way down. I put her up, and she went on. She did well, and then she went into the green room, which is like a small little closet. And then there's Lucian telling her. And this was the story. He said, all right, well, a couple of years ago, I wanted to be a dancer. And I loved ballet. And I was, and I was pretty good. But there comes a time where you are just too old to be putting on those ballet shoes.
Oh, my God.
And then that was it. So he was saying, you're too old to be a comedian. And then she left, and she probably cried the whole way home.
That's horrible. That's horrible. Well, to Barry's credit, after all those years, he still, when I showed up at the Boston Comedy Club,
yeah,
he came down to watch me. When I was in LA, he answered the phone. I told him about, he still answers. And I saw him at, Esther Koo?
Yeah.
Yeah. So Esther Koo invited me to this event that she was hosting, and Barry came in and he's like, who doesn't love Danny McDermott?
Yeah, he is. He is good that way too, and he knows a lot of people. Like when he said Carrie, you're gonna be so famous, that was like way after. You know, I totally wanted to tell him.
Love your impression.
Why did you put me on? I still want to like ask him.
Ask
why
him.
Did you put me on? Oh, and he still owes me money from
really?
Back in the day. Maureen Tarrant used to work for him, so I was with them for like a millisecond. She was going to work with me for a millisecond. And I did ask. So this was like when I finally moved there, I did actually sign with them, or not sign, but whatever. I was working with them for a little bit, sort of.
Right.
And I'm like, sure, I'll be your client. Are you going to still owe me? I think you owe me like $150, maybe $300 for two spots back in the day in Boston. And he just laughed. Ha ha ha.
He thought you were joking. He probably didn't remember.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's hilarious. Well, I'm going to tell him he owes you the money now. I'm going to call him up.
Call him up.
Plus interest.
I'm going to need it now since we haven't worked in this pandemic. So
well, I said,
all my, yeah,
Barry always wants you to prove yourself the first time. And when I told him, I said, I want you to produce this movie. He goes, sure, I'll produce it. Get the money. I'm like, isn't that what a producer's supposed to do? Anyway. Yeah, so these are, God, for people who aren't, this is really inside comic stuff. This is cool stuff for people who are young comics or people who don't even know stand-up. So it's cool stuff. Now, you've done so much TV. What are your favorite, one or two of your favorite experiences?
I really loved doing Last Comic Standing. I really did. That was very exciting for me. But it was, let me just tell you this. It was difficult because I had twin boys that were 2 years old.
Oh, wow.
Let's back up because I did the pilot for that show, Last Comic Standing. Did you know that?
I didn't know that.
The very first pilot I got. I found out I got the pilot the day I found out I was pregnant with twins.
Oh. Wow.
So the pilot was called Comic House at the time. And I did it with Doug Stanhope and I did it with a couple other people. And the person who won the second year?
I don't know.
Oh my God. John Heffron.
Okay.
So, and that's how I met him at doing the pilot. So for 3 days I had to pretend I was drinking because I had just found out I was pregnant with twins. And my doctor said, you know, usually with twins, you know, let's just keep it on the DL because usually it becomes a single or even sometimes because it's high risk becomes no pregnancy at all. So let's just, you know, keep it on the down low. You've only pregnant for a week. So that weekend I had to go and film Comic House three days, you know, they kind of make it like Love Island. It was almost like Love Island mixed with comedy, mixed with Survivor. Cause we had to go in a room and tell people who we thought weren't funny. And we were like, when are we getting voted off? But no one got voted off. We're like, someone's going to get voted off. But anyway, I couldn't do the first season cause I did the pilot and they were doing some of the same activities. Plus I had just given birth, just given birth. So they asked me to do the second season. So I'm kind of glad that I got in at least because I did the pilot for it that sold it. And it was Jay Moore too. Jay Moore was there.
Oh, yeah.
He was the guy running the whole thing. And Barry Katz. That's Barry Katz. I think that's when Barry Katz said to me, I'm going to be so famous. and it took a whole year for NBC to actually sell the show. But I auditioned. You know how when they say it's down to you and another person. Or you got a callback and you're all nervous, you know, at the callback and you just screw it up. That's me all the time. It's like, oh my God, they like me, but I'm going to freaking screw it up. So my callback, the day I got my callback was the day I had pregnancy boobs. My boobs were out to here because I had just gotten pregnant, but I didn't know if I was pregnant or not. And I was in LA and I didn't want to find out because I wasn't with Tom. And we decided that when I go back to New York, we're going to find out if we're pregnant. I'm going to take the pregnancy test together with him because I wanted it to be, you know, romantic. But I knew I had a feeling I was pregnant because my boobs felt like they were big and heavy and they were like I've never seen. So I'm like, Kevin, I know I'm pregnant.
Kevin, you know what she's talking about.
Yeah,
I do. I feel very full and voluptuous right now.
So when I was at the table in my second audition, I was just thinking, oh my God, I'm pregnant. I wasn't thinking that about anything else. So that's why I got the job. Well, I think the boobs helped, but my mindset was different. Like I didn't give a crap where I was. I was just like, you know, and I probably had that pregnancy glow. So my point is this, get pregnant. If you really want a part, get pregnant.
I'll try.
Seriously, you know?
That's great. So, yeah. That's great. You know, if it was my kid, I won. You know about how I won 10,000 on America's Funniest Home Videos? My son said, you owe me $10,000, right? And I go, no, 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 no. because we would have won $100,000 if you didn't cry in front of the producers. So you owe me $90,000.
Oh my God, you didn't drug your kid? Come on.
You know,
Benadryl. One word.
You know, hindsight is 20/20, Carrie.
Pregnancy boobs and Benadryl. That's going to get you the money. Those are going to get you the parts.
It was crazy because we were literally the 100,000 they said was a private vote instead of just the audience. And we were in the interview and the producers, they were like, hey, so da, 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 and all of a sudden my kid goes, wah, and he starts crying. They're like, you can see the look on their faces, you know? And so we go out and they're announcing the $100,000 winner. And they're announcing the 100,000. They were afraid he was going to freak out, you know, and he didn't. He was great. But they said the other person is the winner. And their video was nowhere near as funny as mine. And the entire audience, you could hear him go, oh, what? You could literally hear everybody doing that. And I'm like, ah, oh, man.
The private vote. What is up with that? Well, that kind of that's parallel to Last Comic Standing. Do you remember my year with Dan Natterman, and he got a standing ovation and had the set of the night, and he didn't move forward, and they all went, and then the producer had to get on. That producer that got on, he's the one that was there during my pregnancy boobs, the very early on. He's the one who got me the pilot, and he said, "Well, we need to tell the public that." What the judges didn't know is that we producers have the final say and that we vote too. And we didn't vote for Dan.
I remember that.
See, that's dude, look, I remember look, that. It's supposed to be a fair contest. None of them are. None of them are.
No.
No. It's a fake. That's what reality TV is. They make people think it's real, but it's all set up. Everything's set up and they plan it all out, you know?
That's and why they call it reality TV.
Yeah, right. So I've always wanted to do a behind the scenes fake reality TV show. You know what I mean? About reality TV. You know what I mean?
There should be like a spoof, a mockumentary of reality TV.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I love that style.
Oh my God, Danny, let's write that.
The contestants are judges. And the idea is to take yourself way too seriously.
Well, you know what? It's like Best in Show.
I know. Yes, Best in Show. That's exactly what I was thinking. It's so funny. It's so funny. We could do something like so funny like that.
I'll talk to you guys. I'll talk to you and Tom after the show because I do have an idea that I think could be huge. I mean, really, really big in that style, that vein of thing. Yeah. But I'll talk to you guys. I don't want to give it away on because we have at least six people watching.
Yeah, and those six people are going to take this idea. So we need to as soon as this is over, we need to start writing.
I'm going to snort Benadryl before my audition.
I'm typing.
Boom. It's already in the private comments.
I just put it in the guild. I just put it in the writers guild. It's already.
Actually, it's we in the it. Private. It's in the comments. They just booked the show.
That's coming next year on NBC.
The producer is Barry Katz.
Barry Katz. So and we have to audition for our own roles.
And bring the money. And you have to bring the money.
And we have to bring the money. I bust on Barry, but I got to say, Barry's, you know, overall, he's been pretty supportive of me, except he hasn't done anything for me.
So does Carrie. She does the teeth thing. I think the busting on Barry's ship has taken off already.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not coming back. So.
He's supportive. I think he does podcasts now. He's like, I don't know.
Forget, what's it called again? Industry Standard.
Yes. Yeah.
That's it, right?
He is next guest. None.
Are you really?
4 hours.
I don't know, so I can ask where my $150 or my 300. I think it's 300 total. Two sets.
Wow.
Two or three sets, 300 total.
Oh, wow.
That's long
awesome.
Ago. Plus inflation.
We should write a show called Barry Katz. we'll just start pitching it everywhere, you know? Barry will hear about it.
Oh my God.
Can you imagine?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah, and then so, he'll produce it. He'll want to produce
tell
it.
Tell me about COVID is no joke. What is that?
Oh, you know what? That's so funny too, because we were going to be highlighted in this whole big thing. And then they came back on and they're like, oh, you know what? We're going to have you in the credits. So they put us in the credits. That's it. So when the credits were all going, then they had like a little thing of me and Tom on, and that's it.
Well, Kevin, thanks for doing the research, man.
Not a problem, Danny.
I just brought up a horrible thing.
I'm here to make you look good. She's going to do an impression of you on Barry Katz's show.
What happened was, I think they asked us and we were on board and they were so appreciative. But then they got some bigger names as they went along. And so then they were like, so we're going to have you in the credits. And then they were apologizing. And we went through hoops with them, giving them many different takes. And some of them were really good. And then they chopped it up and edited it up and just gave like 30 seconds in the credits.
Did they give you any of the footage at least?
We had to give them footage. That's the thing. We did a lot on our own, and then they wanted us to do it again. And then we had to film it on our phone, and they filmed it a little bit too. And then we filmed some of it on the phone and whatever. It was like, and what's so sad was they got these big names and they had these writers with these big names, and they were doing COVID is no joke, and they were not funny. Like, Tom and I were very fun. Obviously we do it for a living.
You guys were funny.
And some of their skits and sketches that we got bumped from were not good. It was long and uncomfortable.
Right. Well, screw
that's
them.
That's no business. I thought, wait a minute, I think Barry Katz produced that, actually.
No way.
No. No, I'm kidding.
Let's just blame everything on Barry. That's the title, Blame Barry.
What? There we go. We got the title of our show, Blame Barry.
Oh my God. All right. So real quick, your book. You've written a couple books, but
yeah. I've written a couple books. Here's one of them was
there you go. That was the one I was gonna bring up. Mean Mommy.
And I hope my husband answers that phone. Okay.
Did you put that out? Did you and Tom decide you were going to write these books together? Like, I know
we didn't plan it, because he knew he was going to write a book and I knew I was going to write a book, but I don't know if he, we kind of didn't plan the title, but when we put it, after all said and done, when we put it together, Mean Mommy and Bad Dad.
Yeah.
Our kids are going to have some problems growing up. I named mine Mean Mommy after a poem, and it's all about, you know, mean mommies, like a lot, they don't allow sweets or candy. They make sure their kids do their chores. They, you know, make sure they tell the truth. They, you know, it's all about, it's a cute little poem that my mom had growing up. And I love the poem. And that's why I called it Mean Mommy, because I think there needs to be more mean mommies and mean daddies, and not everybody's going to win. And you're not going to just, you know, make thousands of meals. You're going to eat your broccoli or you get shot by a Nerf gun. Nowadays we're bringing up these millennials who are like, they get whatever they want. And they, you know, I think it's all about getting back to the basics.
Yeah.
Maybe. You're giving them Benadryl so your kid doesn't cry, so you can win the $100,000.
There you go.
So it has like a little bit of like it's basically how I did it through the trenches. It has that story about Last Comic Standing in there, and it has all the stories of how I went on the road with the twins and I dealt with my husband, who was always on the road. I was basically a single mom trying to do comedy, and it has all those funny little stories of what I did and how I juggled, and it has some advice in it too. Like, it's okay to give your kid Benadryl if you need to, you know.
Where can people buy the book?
So the people can buy the book, good question, on Amazon. And I have a children's book. I wrote a children's book too.
Yeah.
That's called Harry the Elephant Has an Allergy.
Also on Amazon?
That's also on Amazon. Because my son Harry, the one in the glasses, he's allergic to eggs and nuts. So I wrote that about, it's about an elephant allergic to nuts, peanuts. and he finds a cow who's allergic to milk, and he finds a friend, a chicken who's allergic to eggs. And that's, it's cool, illustrated by a comedian, Jimmy Carroll.
Oh, wow.
So awesome. That's what I love about it the most, too, because I really collaborated with him, and he was so awesome. And he and so this was out last Christmas on Amazon.
Beautiful, beautiful. Now your new CD, Funny Mommy.
And that, oh yeah, that I did during COVID, and my Mean Mommy is going to come out as an audiobook. I did that during COVID because there was nothing to do, so I hid in my closet and started recording crap. Yeah, Funny Mommy. And then my first CD is called Yummy Mommy. Are you seeing somewhat of a theme here?
Yes, there's a lot of mumminess. Yes.
There's a lot of mumminess. And once I start doing grandmummy crap, that's when you can tell me, you know, now you can say, you're too old.
That's when Barry's going to book you for everything.
Yeah.
That's when
Barry, you're going to be famous once you were a grandma.
You got to hang up your, you're going to hang up the ballet slippers then?
Yeah, Karen, you sure never hung up the ballet slippers.
Lucian's going to be looking down on you and be like.
I know, he's so mad. But that's my same voice when I make fun of my husband. So all guys sound the same to me. Producers, and agents, managers, and my husband. They all sound the same.
Awesome. So real quick, where can people find you? Because we're going to bring on a segment right now. But where can people find you on social media?
People can find me at Carrie Louise Laff, L-A-F-F, or Carrie Louise. Make sure you spell my name with an I, because if you spell it with a Y, you'll get the stripper. For real.
Really?
She's probably got a yummy mommy that takes a turn.
Carrie Louise, L-A-F-F.
Okay. All right. Awesome. All right, now we'd like you to stay on here. You're an amazing guest. God, it was great catching up and talking about all this stuff. And but we're going to do a segment here with a gentleman who has been an animator for South Park for many, many years, and he's writing the movie Attack of the Killer Tomatoes. He got commissioned to do that. Please welcome Anthony San Anselmo. Let's do the segment.
What are your favorite kids' movies?
Oh, he's not on? Oh, he's not on yet.
Okay.
Oh, I thought I saw Anthony comment. He wasn't ready.
Hey,
I saw him comment. I'm sorry. I saw him comment. I thought he was ready. By the way, guys, this is our engineer, Susanna. She is the one who saves our butts and makes this amazing. There he is. He's here. All right,
he's
there
here.
We go.
Let's go.
All right.
Let's go.
How you doing, everybody? How you doing?
Very good. Well. Welcome.
Nice to see you, by the way. Great interview. Great interview. It's been hectic here, so I apologize. By the way, guys, this is our
engineer. No problem, buddy. We are ready for you.
All right, hang tight. We got some technical difficulties. Ready? Five, four, three, two. I'm going to turn you off on my phone right now, Danny. This has never happened. You know what? The minute you go down to one guest, I'm like flustered. Anyway, okay. So we're going to mix it up tonight. We're going to actually go to the – this is called Mondo Video, this little video section right here. We're going to go to Mondo Kiddio, okay? And we're going to, like, learn about what kick-ass kids movies, 80s, of course, you should introduce your kids to. So why don't we sit down – in the kids section and have a drink.
Oh, we got two Carries now. We got two Carries. We got Carrie is our writer, and then we got Carrie the comedian. This is great. Feel free to comment, by the way, Carrie. Yeah.
I would hope so.
This is a free for all. Have fun.
Which Carrie? You need to make up your mind.
Stephen, both of you.
Stephen King's Carrie. We'll say Stephen King's Carrie, and then we'll be like Carrie. For the
How
comedian.
About the, not the stripper? I would say not the stripper, but then that would
I could say, no, I think you should call me the stripper, Carrie. Look, I'll take one for the team. If I have to be the stripper, Carrie, I'll go for it.
know what's incredible? I'm going to be right back. Talk amongst yourselves. What's just happened?
It's highly unusual, Danny, but I'm going to tell you what's happened is you have lost all control of your show.
That's I guess
what's happened
so.
Here. You have no control over anything. Sit God back and enjoy the ride.
Now this is like an official like Zoom meeting. That's how casual I feel this is. Okay. This is going to be a biased little segment, as they all are. I apologize. But we can really go to any decade and highlight the kids' movies. The first one I'm going to do, if you're going to introduce your kids to some like rad shit, Clash of the Titans. Boom.
Yeah. The original.
Yes, Ray Harryhausen, stop motion animation. It's incredible. I'll just leave it at that. All the parents know what's
Harry
up.
Harry Hamlin, Judy Belker. You had.
I met Lowe, Harry Hamlin.
Burgess Meredith again. We were talking Lawrence about Olivier. Him earlier. Yep. Laurence Olivier. Oh, God. Maggie Smith.
Beautiful cast. Yes.
I met Harry Hamlin at Fry's Electronics one day.
Oh, you met him?
Oh, yeah. Really super nice guy.
Was he a salesman?
No, he's still no. Well, his career isn't that bad.
No, I'm making a joke. God bless him. I for the guy, he's made some fantastic work in L.A. Law.
Really sweet, really sweet, genuine guy. He didn't know me. Talked to me for a while. Really nice guy. So.
Was it at the urinal?
At the urinal. No.
Oh yeah. No. So we're just gonna jump right into it. Boom. We got E.T. because E.T. right.
Yes.
You got to like, I mean, basically what this is if a child can get along with an alien, why can't we get along with everybody else on the planet? You know, so like there's a really good lesson in this. It's kind of like under the subtext. But at the end of the day, it's a fantastic piece of work by Spielberg. Great score by John Williams. And it's funny. I got to give my old roommate's back a shout out. He said he hated, sorry to throw him under the bus, John Williams' scores because it told him how to feel. And I'm like, well, how did you feel? He goes, really sad. I'm like, well, then they did their job. Moving on.
Now I'm sad.
Yeah. Let's kind of intersperse this. Let's intersperse this. Stephen King's Carrie, tell me about some of your favorite 80s films as a kid that were important to you.
Which Carrie?
Stripper Carrie or the other Carrie?
Stephen King's.
Oh, Stephen King Carrie.
Which one is that again?
That's you.
That's mine.
That's me. Oh, yes, of course. Sorry. Forgot about the spelling difference.
I had the Stephen King one.
Oh, it's indeed. Two of my favorites that I can come with up with right away are, first has got to be The Last Starfighter. And that was a movie that I saw in the theater, actually as part of a double feature with Rhinestone, if you could believe it. So it was first The Last Starfighter, and then if anybody else was, you know, left over, then you get to see Sylvester Stallone sting with Dolly Parton. And that was a lot wrong with it. But I remember leaving early because my sister had a curfew, so I couldn't see the last 10 minutes, which I guess was the big build. You know, everything was building up to that moment, and I left right before. So
have you since finished it?
I've never finished it, so I've never actually heard Sylvester Stallone do his famous duet with Dolly Parton at the end, being a big country star.
I think you should do a double feature, but you should reverse them. You should finish on Last Starfighter, because if Rhinestone's going to follow that, no.
Nothing. Yeah. It's just like they were talking about trying to follow Dane Cook. How do you follow The Last Starfighter anyways?
It was in the back of my mind right there, yeah.
It's a perfect movie, but Lance Guest is amazing, and Robert Preston is a gem in absolutely anything that he touches.
Can we enlarge her? Why am I? She needs to. Yeah, there you go.
Because they want to.
There you go.
Don't ever say that to me. Can we enlarge her, please? I do not take that.
Can we enlarge the screen?
No.
God damn it.
No, you want to keep me tiny.
Enlarge this.
I'm out. Okay. No, but
last
just Starfighter,
real quick. The Last Starfighter.
What's up? Yeah. Go for it.
The reason I love The Last Starfighter, I loved it as a kid. I loved it so much. One of the biggest things that I loved is when the kid said crapola. And I just started using that. I just started saying crapola all the time as a kid.
I recall that vividly. In fact, that movie is actually kind of like VFX history. It took like days to like render some of the CGI, like a single CGI shot. And, you know, like Tron, don't, we're not taking anything away from Tron, of course. But, yeah, The Last Starfighter, I think, is hugely underrated, but it's got its fan base. But I do recall there's a horrific element in it when there's, like, a body twin of Lance Guest who's, like, covering for him on the planet Earth while he's in space. And then, like, I guess he's, like, sharing a bunk bed with his brother. Long story short, the covers come down. He's got, like, this chicken skin that's bubbling. And I was just like... Right. A seven-year-old, like, dude, it looked like a massive burn victim, God bless, but, like, it was so jarring for me, and I loved it. So
it was jarring. Good pick. Plus, the way he got away with it was the little brother that he was supposed to be bunking with. He's like, you know, why are you making all these weird noises? He's like, shut up, or I'll tell Mom about your Playboys. And I was like, okay. So not only was it shocking for the naughty factor, then it's like, then you whip off the blanket and see that he's this gelatinous blob.
Yes.
Just horrifying in that aspect. So, yeah, it was.
But it was honest. That kid went right to sleep. Right to sleep. Yeah. Anyway, right. Hell of a pick. I'm going to just quickly throw in the Dark Crystal because it's puppetry magic.
Yep.
Jim Henson, Frank Oz. Everybody knows about this one. There's a Netflix series right now. Throw it on. Kids will love it. It's a little, some of the optics at the end don't really hold up, but you know, if you're a 5-year-old, you're gonna be like, oh, this is amazing. So there you go.
So Kevin will love it.
Daddy, why Kevin
that sounds like a plan.
I'm just gonna squeeze in the Never Ending Story, because who doesn't love Atreyu? And this is when your childhood actually dies because you learn that Artax doesn't live. So it's a piece. It's like kind of like a vision quest for a child. So I'll give him that. Never end story. I'm going to squeeze Carrie in. Excuse me, Susanna. Not stripper Carrie. Yeah. So we're going to get to you. So think about those 80s films. I'm coming to you. Susanna, what do you think about some of your favorite 80s film? Let's talk about that. And enlarge the video screen, please.
Okay.
Enlarge cool. yourself.
Well, God in the it. 80s,
I thought we talked about this.
In the 80s, I was a child. And so my kid movies for the 80s are a little bit different than everybody else's. Mine are a little like what I watch in the 80s. So Mommy Dearest. Hagers in my house ever. Ever. That's and you will eat that
mean
dinner.
Mommy.
Yes, ma'am.
That's piggybacking on my book, Mean Mommy.
Yes, absolutely.
That's not a children's movie. Why would your parents let you watch that?
That's what I watched as a child.
Now we
I enjoy it and I made my children watch it. It is a children's movie in my home. Creepshow.
You're like, this could be me.
Creepshow is one of my favorite Stephen King movies. I started out with the comic book and then I was like, oh, there's a movie. So yeah, I enjoyed Creepshow better than Archie. And last but not least, Who Framed Roger Rabbit? Because who doesn't want an animated sidekick? And who doesn't want to look like Jessica Rabbit when you're 9 years old?
I'm not even all these movies that somebody ends up bubbling and gross and half formed. You got The Last Starfighter, you've got The Dark Crystal where she gets her face melted, and now you're getting this one. There was melting.
Now the pods are losing their essence.
Melting. Yes.
Yeah, there's a scene in The Dark Crystal, yeah, where the podlings get like their life force sucked out of them. And it's just like, you're just watching a puppet, but the puppet's like inflating or deflating. So it's really kind of jarring.
Most horrifying moment.
I'm going to go on a limb, Susanna, and recommend Raging Bull for the kids.
Raging Bull. Yes. Why not?
Yeah, well, she's going to say that for the end, but okay.
Midnight Cowboy.
You'll never overcook a steak again.
So I'll try to bang through these real quick because I know time is of the essence. How can you not throw down Ghostbusters?
Okay. Awesome.
Ghostbusters is fan-fucking-tastic. Pardon my language. I'm in the children's section. What am I doing? We need to lock that up. Okay. So
fan-fucking-tastic children's movie.
You're not in a kid's section, so you're fine. You're in New York City, apparently. Well, yes. But Times Square? Yes. Anyway. So, dude, Ivan Reitman's classic. This was actually before PG-13 was PG-13. It wasn't even invented yet because there was a movie called Gremlins, that pissed off every mother in America. And Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom, the sequel to Raiders of the Lost Ark, pissed off everybody too because of the heart pulling scene, which were both Spielberg films, which were both PG. And so this came out just PG style. So there were still pissed off parents because some practical effects in this, I mean, the VFX are great, but some of the practical effects are like messed up, you know, like for like a 6 year old, but you know, it's a parent basis, you know, whatever you wish, but I recommend it.
She was scary.
Oh, are you kidding me? Like set the tone.
Yep.
Well, not only that, but the sex with a ghost scene. That was a little bit.
Exactly, dude. Thank you, sir.
Once they turn 5, you should stop bullshitting kids anyway.
Fair enough.
Oh, I was looking at the word catalog bra section at 5, so I would have been. No.
Oh, my God.
That was
word.
The first soundtrack I ever bought, actually.
Hell of a movie. Hell of a movie. I was 7 when this came out, and unfortunately, I had a very strict religious mom. Which is probably explains why I have all this right here as an adult. So anyway, I wasn't allowed to see this. And I just had to like suffer while all my friends talked about it at school. And I'm like, oh, yeah, it was a great scene. It was a great scene. I didn't see shit until like 2 years later. It was the worst.
Sorry. This I love Gremlins, man.
Biggest. I was the most obsessed kid of all time in space as a 7-year-old. Wasn't allowed to see it. So I just drew it all day at school. Anyway, this movie's rad. It's puppetry magic. Everybody knows about it, so it's on the list. I could talk about
Joe Dante.
For an hour. Joe Dante, yes, your buddy.
I want him to direct my movie. I do.
You got to reach out to the guy. He's very nice.
Well, I'm Vincent Guastini said he would do it. So,
well, there you go. Yeah, he's awesome, and he's super talented, and I feel studios should throw money at the guy. But, you know.
Yep.
That's another segment. Cloak and Dagger. Remember this?
Henry Thomas. Yes. Dabney Coleman.
Henry Thomas is right. Oh, I got my camera down right there, literally behind me. Yeah, Henry Thomas was an E.T. and Dabney Coleman, God bless him. Basically, it's about a kid whose father is very busy at work. He's a military guy. And Henry Thomas has an imaginary hero who's actually played by Dabney Coleman as well. And they go on some adventures. And basically, this is like the first movie where I felt like real danger. There's nothing supernatural about this, and it's badass. So on the list, moving forward. I mean, I'm trying to like peel through these real quick. Come on now. At this point, I should just hold them all up and be like, watch them. They're great. But who hasn't seen Back to the Future? This is the first time where I'm like, holy shit. Like I think young kids appreciate watching, like, whether they have older siblings or not. They appreciate watching someone kind of like within reach as a character, you know, whether they're, you know, like basically a teen, just like a few years older than them. And that was Marty McFly for me. So it's a hell of a movie. Great sci-fi, great adventure.
I think I saw that hundreds of times because I didn't have cable. I was living in New York and all I had was that VHS tape, Back to the Future. And I literally would watch it.
You were born in 94.
I had nothing else to watch.
3 segments ago. So now you're watching Back to the Future. When it came out, I can't come up with.
No, VHS. It was on VHS.
Okay, you were watching VHS.
I wasn't a kid. I was a broke adult comedian in New York.
He was closer to Christopher Lloyd's age.
Yeah, right.
Okay, let's break this up. Carrie Louise, what is your favorite films from the 80s, kid wise? What do you think?
Okay. Do I have
make her
to
big.
Be, do I have to be a
don't
kid?
Say that.
I wasn't really a kid in the 80s. But we did have gremlin parties. We had like gremlin drinking parties, and I was just about wasn't quite drinking age, but we would completely destroy the house because we would pretend we were gremlins. It was really fun.
Awesome.
So we would have gremlin parties. 16 Candles and Breakfast Club.
Yeah. Oh, there you go.
Love them.
Yep. Who didn't want to be Molly Ringwald? And I used to have short hair, so people used to say I looked like her.
Oh, you do. Oh, wow. You do. A little bit. Maybe if it's curled.
So I kind of loved that, and I loved 16 Candles and Breakfast Club. The reason why I love Breakfast Club so much was it was basically all in one setting. It was in just the school, and that was it. But it carried you throughout because the characters were so defined and so greatly acted out by those great actors.
Judd Nelson did a reading of my movie.
Strong choice.
I met my hero. He was a hero to me. It was crazy.
That's awesome. That's awesome, yeah. Danny.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's
great. I'll show you the pictures later.
Okay.
Because she doesn't believe you. You have to see it to believe it. Otherwise, Judd Nelson did not read for you. No, I was kidding. Great choices, if I may. I actually watched 16 Candles probably a week ago. Completely holds up. I'm a massive John Hughes fan. I have a Ferris Bueller's Day Off tattoo. Life moves pretty fast. Blah, 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 blah.
Oh,
blah,
nice. Yeah.
So I'm with you. And Breakfast Club is a perfect film. They're all great. Anyway, all right. So nicely done. This one was a problem for me. And I mean that in a way. When Goonies came out, I'm like, I've arrived. Okay. This I actually saw in the theater. I'm like, I can finally see something in the theater. Thanks. It had everything. It had friendship, adventure. It had, danger. It was cool shit. And it was so fun. And I'll just, this is where Susanna comes in. So, okay. So fast forward, 30 something. Well,
That's a great one.
Yeah, it's hell. It's
one of the great movies. One of the great movies of all time, for sure.
Goonies is almost as good as your glasses. I gotta say, your glasses are pretty fucking sweet, though. I don't know if there's Goonies sweet. By the way, you didn't get those in like Venice Beach, right? Because remember those blue blockers?
Oh, you didn't see the first part of the show.
Of course I did.
Carrie and I have the same glasses.
I know. I'm messing with you. They
actually
look really good.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
We set up a poll for
everybody. She's wearing them.
She actually won the poll.
You did.
You won the poll. It was 3-1.
That's a second pair of glasses coming your way.
I'm not getting rid of them.
It was 3-1. I don't know what's sadder. That I won the poll, or it was 3-1. Danny, come on. What is
I got to be honest. I think Kevin voted. I think Sam voted. I know I voted. Waiting for your vote, Carrie. And then it'll be straight up, it'll be an obliteration.
Danny,
so, yeah.
Danny voted for himself.
And that they were a dollar. How sad is our life right now, Danny?
But you guys appear to get value at the dollar store. I go and whatever I buy, I walk past somewhere else and they got it for 79 cents.
Ooh. God bless you. See, that's a movie right there. That's a movie. There's something in there.
My buddy Craig Albright, he's a producer. He's got a movie that's coming out, actually, that's a mix between Goonies and I wish he could. I forget the name of it. He's going to kill me. I was going to bring it up. I'll bring it up if he texts me at the end.
Wait. Danny's forgetting a title of something his friend's working on? There's no way that's true.
Deep fried tomatoes or something I said, right?
Whoever said that, God bless
green, you. Fried green killer tomatoes.
It was Revenge of the Fried Green Tomatoes.
We're off rails now. Goonies. So I fast forward. I actually bought a black Jeep Cherokee, and I put like bullet holes in the back and tinted the windows. And I gave Jeff Cohen, aka Chunk, a tour of my work. And on the way out, I'm like, hey man, you gotta like pose by my Jeep. And so he posed by the bullet holes. You know, he's the one who's like, oh, bullet holes the size of matzo balls. I gotta say though, my heart sank when he jumped up to look to see if I had a moonroof, because that's where Jake Fatelli jumped in from the jailbreak, and I had no moonroof. And he goes, almost, bro. I'm like, oh man. Anyway.
All right.
That's crazy.
Goonies. Friendships taken together and evil developers. It's a perfect movie.
You should have told him he smelled like Fizz Ed.
Come on now.
There you go.
There you go.
Oh my God. Loved,
the best.
Loved that. I can't believe I didn't pick that.
Yeah, you just did. it counts.
Dude, me and my friend would laugh and laugh and laugh, and we would imitate him all the time and still laugh and laugh and laugh.
What?
All right. Everyone has to do it now. Everyone has to. Yes. Please.
It's really something.
Please. Get a dark crystal, you. Please. Come on.
Well, I'm 11, need Molly. To use the phone.
You don't. You don't.
What
you
was don't. He saying in Texas? What was the text? Yeah.
That's I'm a rebel, Dolly. I'm a rebel.
I'm a loner, Dolly. Daddy's loner. A rebel.
I can't. That's why I shouldn't do it.
What did he say about Texas? What was the?
He's not happy.
It's Tarzan.
Not happy.
Oh yeah, there is.
Hell of a movie. Everybody knows that.
Yeah, just don't go to a movie theater with him.
That's good.
That's right. That was so sad.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? That's actually one of my childhood. Because I was a Pee-wee's Playhouse fanatic. In fact, every time Pee-wee would get on a scooter and say bye and then like take off, I mean, I was like, Saturday morning, time for me to get on my little banana seat bike because I didn't have my own bike yet. It was a long story. And I would to the neighborhood. God bless. So, awesome. Yes. Banana seat I had one. It was awful. Anyway, well, that's another segment. Spaceballs.
Yes.
If you're going to introduce your kids to parody of the 80s, start with here. I mean, you can, you know, argue, oh, Naked Gun, but, you know, chances are they've seen Star Wars. So this is kind of fun. Boom. And Mel Brooks is a genius.
I made my son watch that. Me too.
I did too.
How'd it go?
I saw it in the theater.
And then they were fighting with their lightsaber wieners. Schwartz.
I feel like every segment you say that, which is good because I mean I finally brought it up, but the last segment you did it.
No, we were talking about Skin Deep.
That's right.
That's right.
Yeah, that was different. Those were real.
I'm all for it. All right, so to wrap it up.
Yes.
Okay.
Oh my God.
Beautiful miniature. Rick Moranis classic. It's a good adventure film. It's clean. It's PG, like, you know, post PG-13. It's just a kick-ass family film. It's super fun. And it actually introduced Roger Rabbit. I don't know if you could see, but they had like a little tummy trouble, little short film beforehand.
Oh.
Yeah. So that was pretty exciting theaters. Which led
I saw
to,
that in theaters.
And da-da-da, bam. Live action animated Roger Rabbit. Fantastic film until the little dude gets inked out or erased, which is another R-Tax moment from like Neverending Story. But beyond that, it's a hell of a movie. So I'm just going to wrap my second right there.
Bye. Nice.
Honey, I Shrunk the Kids didn't he just get mugged or something in New York
City? He got punched.
Punched. Oh, yes.
It wasn't even a mugging.
Yeah, it was just punched.
Yeah.
It wasn't even a mugging. Somebody just randomly went up and punched Rick
Moranis.
That's
just wrong. Finally. If you're going to punch somebody, take their money. Let them go home and feel good about themselves.
Right?
You know, I got robbed.
Yeah, like
somebody was desperate. Well. But when somebody just runs up and punches you in the face, there's no way for that to go.
That's right.
Right?
You know, you go hold up. Yeah, somebody punched me in my face. Are you okay? Did they take your money? Yeah, they left me with everything. I'm, you know.
They just wanted to punch me.
It's a sad story.
So what did you do? You obviously upset them somehow.
I hate to say it. The byproduct of that was very successful for his resurgence. I hate to say it. It absolutely, I mean, it was such a groundswell of people coming around like, fuck that.
Right.
You don't hit Rick Moranis. This guy left Hollywood to take care of his kids when his wife passed. Like, I mean,
Steve Gutenberg's scheduling a punch in the face this week? Is that what you're saying?
I was just going to say, so you think he planned it?
Yeah,
I like it.
Maybe that was Steve Gutenberg that punched him. No. They were trying for a double.
See Thomas Howell. Anybody know what I did there?
I do. I saw that.
That would be a great way. That would be a great way for two actors to bring their careers back. Getting a fist fight in a supermarket. That would be hilarious.
Actually, Michael Rappaport and Paulie Shore staged, I feel, pretty much like a kind of a rivalry between them. And it was really just kind of a just kind of a goof to, like, you know, entertain the audience. I don't know if anybody saw that, but it was enjoyable while it lasted, and then it kind of fizzled out. But it was no.
Kevin, you were muted. Kevin said a whole joke, and Kevin. He was laughing about his own joke, and none of us could hear it. He was
Kevin.
Like,
you missed it.
You can't hear you. You're muted.
It's there you go. Point, it's
Andy's stuck.
Point.
There we go.
All right, just to wrap up, Kevin, do you have any thoughts on 80s kids films? And when I say kids, I mean Ghostbusters is it's a family film and an adult
Creepshow,
film.
It's not a family film.
Yeah.
Hey, it's a comic. Come on. Yeah.
Any thoughts, sir? Are you frozen? While he's in cryogenics. Frozen. How about you, Danny?
He's stunned. He's stunned.
I always know.
I have a question he has no answer to.
He can only have either visual or audio. That's all.
Actually, you know, he's probably just stilled it and he's making a sandwich right now, just like smothering peanut butter in there.
I think Big with Tom Hanks.
Yeah.
That was one of my favorite movies ever. In fact, when I was writing my leap year movie, I had some big influence from Big. And big influence. What was the other one, Suzanne, I told you earlier, and I forget now. I can't even remember my own movies that I like. This is crazy.
Was it The Rescuers Down Under? It was The Rescuers Down Under.
No, come on. You don't remember? I just told you.
No, I don't remember.
Are you messing with me right now?
Totally.
So what was it? Come on, tell me.
Skewers Down Under?
This isn't
you know
your
why?
Heart.
You know why?
You tell us.
What he's saying to me.
No, you know why? Because I Googled kids movies and I looked at the ones that I hear it is right here. I'll find it right now.
Danny,
what I like. Harry and the Hendersons.
There you go.
Harry and the Hendersons.
It was the big
beautiful film.
Film.
Love
that's
it.
That's a good
director
movie.
William Dear.
That movie was hilarious. Those are my two favorites.
Of
my favorites.
Sandlot. God love Sandlot.
Yeah.
90s, I believe.
But yeah,
that wasn't 80s.
But it doesn't matter. Right. We still beat you on Harry and the Hendersons because you had to like refer to like. So I'll accept
Wait,
that.
I just remembered it, man. What are you talking about? I remembered it.
Well, that's the list. If you're looking for movies for your kids, I mean, you can't go wrong with that lot. That's
okay. I got the movie. I got the movie that my buddy's is being released. It's Time Crafters and the Treasure of Pirate's Cove. It was in People magazine. Craig Albright is the one of the executive producers on it. So it's going to be coming out soon. So guys, you got to check that out. I'm going to say it one more time. So you guys got it. Time Crafters and the Treasure of Pirate's Cove.
Right.
It's like Goonies mixed with something else. I forget, with Pirates of the Caribbean or something like that, but it looks awesome. So hopefully a new classic.
And Showgirls.
Any final thoughts?
Get the large pizza.
I'm just
Carrie, thanks for being a writer on our show, Carrie.
Yes, Carrie.
Always take it. Thank you. Those are wise words that I can leave you with. If they offer you extra cheese at the counter, always take it.
Okay.
Wise.
Even if it's at the pharmacy?
Yeah, especially. That's a no-brainer.
I don't know why I picked a pharmacy. Anyway, Carrie Louise, thank you so much for being our star tonight on the show.
Thank you. It's stripper Carrie Louise to you, by the way.
Congrats on the books, by the way.
Thank you. Yeah. And I had fun with the movies. Thank you.
Good times. Appreciate it. And if you're watching, you can buy Carrie's books on Amazon.
That's right.
There you go. There you go. Guys, thank you for watching the show. We appreciate it. All four of you, please tell four more people, and then maybe we can have eight people next week. We could really use eight people. Just share it with one person or
two
people.
Too soon, Danny. Too much too soon.
We actually have more viewers than that. I keep joking about it, but we have a decent amount now. So,
could you imagine if all four people bought my book? Oh my God!
There you go.
I could get more glasses from the dollar store.
KDP. Hell yeah, dude. Hell yeah.
Hold up all the glasses you have again. As we say goodbye. Goodbye, guys.
Oh, those are gangster. Those are rad. Very cool.
All right, guys.
Oh, nice.
There you go.
Good night.
Good night, everybody.
For every day of the
week. Good night, guys.
Be well.
Bye.
Nope. Uh-huh.